Good evening. I'm very excited to be here. This is my second time coming to this campground. And anytime I come here, it is so amazing that I wish that we could bring Columbia Union here and take Mountain View Conference to Columbia Union property. Because you have amazing buildings. So I just want to say thank you. So on behalf of Dr. Dave Wigley of Columbia Union, I bring you greetings from Columbia Union. And Dr. Wigley really wanted to be here, but he couldn't make it. But he promised that next year you are going to have him. And I'm going to also come and spend the entire time here at this camp meeting. I've really enjoyed myself. When I came, I had the opportunity to play basketball. And this is the first time I'm learning how to play basketball. So that's why I want to come here, because I know anytime I come here, there's something new that I will be able to learn. Let us bow our heads and pray as we begin. Dear Jesus, these are your people, and I pray that, Lord, you will speak with them according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so you know me. I'm from Ghana in West Africa. I came to this country in 2004. And I have a very large family. We are 12 in total. And we have 8 girls and 4 boys. So including myself, we are 12. And when I was younger, my parents, they decided to immigrate to United Kingdom, England. And I happened to be the only one to be left to stay with my grandmother. As to why my parents decided that I should be the one to stay with my grandmother, up to today, I still don't understand. Because I did not enjoy staying with my grandmother. Because my grandmother was Adventist, and she had a very strict requirement. And she had a deficiency. And one of her deficiencies was to be able to read and write. She couldn't read and she couldn't write. However, she really loved Bible stories. And so, as a younger age, she would tell me to read Bible stories for her. And which I did not like, because she wanted me to read it for her as her bedtime story. So my grandmother would be on her bed, and she would tell me to come in and read her a Bible story. And I did not like that, because I was expecting my grandmother to read Bible story to me, not me reading Bible story to her, so that she would be able to sleep. So I did not like that. And so I told her, "Grandma, I don't like that strategy. I don't like that policy. I'm expecting you to read Bible story to me so that I can sleep." And not that reading a Bible story, she had crazy Bible names that she would tell me to go and research and tell her about those. And some of the Bible names I could not even pronounce when I was younger. Some of them were Nebuchadnezzar. And at that time, I was about 6, 7 years old. How am I going to pronounce Nebuchadnezzar? And so I told her, "Grandma, for me to do it, you need to give me an incentive to do that." And so she decided to give me money every week so that I would be able to read her a Bible story. And still, I did not like that. And so she decided to increase the amount that she was giving me as an incentive so that I would be able to read Bible story for her. And in the course of reading her Bible stories, I became fascinated and interested about 3 Bible characters that I want to share with you today. And the first Bible character that I enjoyed reading about was David. I enjoyed David because as a young boy, he knew how to boast about the name of the Lord. I loved him because he would tell us about how he would go to the bush, take care of his father's sheep, and even if lions and birds, if they come close, he will fight them, kill them, as a young boy. And I like him because he was able to stand Goliath, a big giant Philistine army, a strong soldier. He was able to stand in front of this guy whilst the whole Israel army, the whole camp was quiet and silent. This boy will boast and say that I will be able to go and stand before this guy and I'm going to kill him. Because for him, Jesus and God was everything to him. Because to him, he thinks God is greater than anything and God can do anything and God is stronger than anybody. And for him, he was able to stand before this giant and he was able to kill him as a young boy. And he was able to fight the Philistine army. And so I love this boy. But as I was reading about this guy, I came to Psalm, the book of Psalm, chapter 40, 42, verse 5. And when you look at Psalm 42, verse 5, it's written by David, the same guy. And his story changes. He became very sad. And when you look at it, he says that my soul is downcast within me. My soul is downcast within me. And so I was asking this guy, why is this guy now his soul is downcast? What is wrong with this guy? Why is it that now his story is changing? Why doesn't he have confidence in the Lord anymore? Has he forgotten about God who was with him when he was facing Goliath? When he was fighting birds and lions? Why that now his soul is downcast within him? And so when I was reading about this, and I said, does his story reflect our story? Does David's story reflect my story? Do I boast when God does things that are spectacular? When things are going well? When my health is in good condition? When my children are doing well in school? When my job is going great, when my wife, everything is going fine with them, when I'm able to buy my dream house, when I have my dream car, when money is not an issue, do I have confidence in the Lord at that time? Then what do I do when I'm in my valley, when things are not going so well, when I hear news and my heart aches, when my child dies, when I lose my job, when my health is failing me, when I get depressed, what do I say at that time? What is my story? Do I still say that God is great? Do I still say that God is the amazing God? Do I still say that God is with me? Do I still say that God is great all the time? Or do I say it when everything is going well with me? And then from him, I moved to another guy that I really enjoyed. And I like him because of how he's able to stand before kings and just tell them what God is telling them, why he was not afraid about anything. That guy is Jeremiah. And I love Jeremiah because among all of the prophets, among all of the characters in the Bible, he is the only one that God said that he knew him before he came into his mother's womb. Before his parents or his mother became pregnant, God said he knew this guy. And he said that he has even appointed him prophet. He had his career ahead of him. God had designed what he is intended to do. So Jeremiah knew exactly what he was going to do in this world. And I loved him because he has wonderful Bible promises. One of my favorite Bible promises from Jeremiah is Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Why he says that you need to call unto me and I'll tell you great and marvelous things that you knew nothing about. And then when you look at Jeremiah 29 verse 11, the same guy also says, God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and to give you a future. This is Jeremiah. So he's the guy that had a closer relationship with the Lord. And he loved the Lord so much. But when we move from Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, and we shift to the book of Lamentation, the same guy that God said he knew him, he appointed him prophet, the same guy that says we should call unto the Lord and he will answer us, The same guy that is saying that God has plans for us in a future and hope. His story changes, especially when we look at Lamentation chapter 3, and you start reading from verse 17. Jeremiah would say horrible, very sad, very depressing words. And he would say words like, I don't have peace anymore. My splendor is gone. All that I had hoped in the Lord is also gone. Now I remember these things, and my soul is downcast within me. So I was thinking about this prophet, and I said, what is wrong with this guy? Why is his story changing? Why was he saying that God has plans for us in the future and hope? Why is this guy, he's the one, the same guy who told us that we should call unto the Lord, and he will answer us, and he will tell us great and marvelous things that we knew nothing about. Why is his story changing? What is wrong with these people? So I was thinking about it, and I said, these two guys are us. They are Adventists. Because we knew everything about the Lord. We knew the promises about the Lord. We are able to come and stand before the church and testify to the goodness of the Lord. When God does something spectacular, it's very easy for us to go to church, to stand in front of the church and let people know what God has done. In the African culture, when God does something spectacular, they will come and stand in front of the church and they will be dancing. They're going to wear white, top and down, at the bottom, top and the bottom. And they'll be dancing because God has done something spectacular. And they are going to say all kinds or give God all names. Marvelous God, wonderful God, amazing God. All these wonderful words to describe who God is. But when something happens to them, the same people, the same person who testifies to the goodness of the Lord, when things don't go well, their story changes. I have a wonderful friend. He was a very wonderful guy in my church. And at that time, we were trying to raise money. And this guy, single-handedly, he provided $500,000 to the church. And this guy is able to stand in front of the church and testify about the goodness of the Lord and how great God is and how marvelous God is. And everybody loves him. He's a wonderful preacher. He does everything good. And when the market in 2008, when the market sank, and when the housing market, the issue that the economy tanked, he lost everything. And for some time, he stopped going to church. And for a month, he wasn't there, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, he was not coming to church anymore. And so I went there and I visited him. And I said, sir, I haven't seen you coming to church. I just want to see if everything is okay. And he said, Emmanuel, you know, I don't think I believe in the church anymore. And I said, what is wrong with you? You always tell us how marvelous the Adventist church is and how God is in this church and how God is doing things wonderfully for our members in the church. What is wrong? Why has your story changed? And he said, Emmanuel, I just want to tell you, I lost everything that I had. I lost my business, I lost my money, and my wife left with the children because now we don't have anything. So I feel like God has disappointed me. I don't believe in God anymore. Why can God do this to me when I'm helping the church? I'm giving all that I can to support the church. And this guy, when he had money, he sponsored several mission trips and provided money to Africa and other places. And he said, God has disappointed me. And I said, do you think God is different when things are going well and is different when things are not going well? Do you think God has a dual personality? And he looked at me and he said, well, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know, but I still think God has disappointed me. So I'm not going to go to church anymore. And I said, okay, that's fine. You know, we'll start praying. And so every day, every week, I'll go to his house. And he'll tell me straight up and say, Emmanuel, if you're coming to talk about Jesus and God and the Sabbath and everything, please don't come here anymore. And I said, that's fine. You're not going to talk about that. So one day I asked him, and I invited him to come with me, because we had a member who was at a hospital. And I said, one of your friends is admitted at a hospital. He's going to have a surgery. Do you mind going and visit him? It's not church. And he said, no, I don't want to do anything with them, and blah, 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 I'm not going in. And with hesitation, he decided to go with me. So as we went to Howard County General Hospital, as we walked in there, we saw our friend, and they were going to do surgery. We visited him, and there were two people in there. And one of the people who was there had a cancer. And the person said that the doctors are saying that he's not going to make it. He's going to die in about 10 days or something like that. And they were going to take him to hospice. And I asked my friend, I said, do you mind we pray for this guy? And I said, and he said, okay, just go ahead and pray. And I said, do you mind to lead and pray for him? And he said, no, I'm not going to pray for him. So I prayed. And when I'm praying, then I saw him, he started crying. And when we finished the prayer, I looked at him and I said, what is wrong with you? You didn't want to come here in the first place. Why are you crying? Is it because the person is sick and the doctor is saying that he's going to die in 10 days? And he said, yeah, now, Emmanuel, I feel like God has been good to me. Even though I've lost everything, I've lost my wife, I've lost my cars, I've lost my house, I've lost everything, I still have strength. No doctor has told me I have 10 days to live. And he started praising God at that time. So to him, God is different when things are going well. God is different when everything is amazing. God is different when we have everything in order, when things are going in the right direction. God is good. But what about when you are in your valley? When you shift from your mountaintop experience and you come down to your valley? How do you see God? How do you see the mission of God? And that is who we are as Christians. And today I just want to tell you that we have a God who is the same. Regardless of your condition, regardless of your situation, it doesn't matter who you are. God's love for you is constant. It will never change. It's not based on your circumstance. When you are in your good health, praise the Lord. When things are not going well, praise the Lord as well. Because he gets you covered. He will never leave you alone. One of my favorite Bible texts is Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And Paul makes a very profound statement. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. And in the gospel, power is not just a word. It's not just what God has done for us in heaven. It's about what God is also doing for us right here in this world. We have God who is powerful, who can do anything and everything. So as we are living the last days, and I like your camp meeting theme, mission focused till he comes. From this time to the time Jesus comes, things are going to be different. Your life is going to be different. Your life is going to change. But God's love for you is going to remain constant. It's never going to change. And so when things are not going well in your life, don't be depressed. Don't be sad. Don't be like David, saying that my soul is downcast within me. Don't be like Jeremiah, saying that he remembers all his troubles and his soul is downcast within him. Because to Jeremiah and to David, they realized that God was different. But when they came down on their senses, when they realized that everything is the same about God, when you read the whole Psalm 42, verse 5, you read the whole chapter, the whole verse. David, his story changed. He said, now I will put my hope in the Lord. He realized that the solution in this life is to put your hope in the Lord. In Lamentation chapter 3, verse 21, Jeremiah also, he said, this thing that I recall and I have hope, because of God's great mercies, we are not consumed. Because of his compassion never fails. And they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. When we come back to our senses, Sometimes as Christians, we look at our problems, we look at our challenges, we look at what we are going through, we look at our diseases, we look at our poverty, we look at our problems with our children, we look at things that are going bad in our lives, and we fix our mind just on those things. But we always forget about who is behind our problems. And David said, I will look unto the hills. That is where my help will come from. So when you are down, when you are sad, when you are depressed, when things don't go well, things don't go the way you expected, just look up and see who is there. God loves you the same way. He loved you when things were going well in your life. And he loves you when things don't go well in your life. Because in Romans 8:28, it's a very profound statement. He said, all things work together for good. All things. And all things include all things. That's it. All things include all things. It includes the good things that will happen to you in your life and the bad things that will happen to you in your life. Because all of them, the Bible says, all of them work together for your own good, for those who have been called according to his purpose. Because God has a plan for you. Before you were born, he had laid a plan for your life. And so today I just want to tell you, no matter what your situation is, don't lose hope. Don't give up on the Lord. And sometimes there are some people that they have given up on the mission of the Lord to have everybody experience the mission of Jesus Christ because they think that God has disappointed them. Because what they were expecting, they are not getting what they are expecting from the Lord. So how can they go out there and tell somebody about Jesus? But God loves you the same way, regardless of your situation. When I was younger, I told you already, I lived with my grandmother. And when I was coming to this country, and from Africa coming to the U.S., it's very complicated. And I was coming to school at La Sierra University. Because in Ghana, once you finish your college, the requirement is that you have to work 10 years and get 10 years working experience before you can do your master's. Okay? And so I told my grandmother that I don't want to do that. I just want to do my master's straight away. And she said, so where do you want to do it? And I said, I don't know. And she said, okay, do it. If you want to do it, then do it. And I said, Grandma, you don't understand. The requirement is I have to work full-time for 10 years before I can do my master's. And she said, okay, then do it. Do your master's now if you want to. And I said, Grandma, the requirement, you don't understand it, but the only way I can do my master's is to either go to U.S., go to Canada, or go to England and do my master's. And she said, what is holding you? Just go and do it. And I said, Grandma, you don't understand it. You don't know what I'm talking about. Okay? And I said, okay. So I applied to La Sierra University. I got admission. And when the admission letter came, they said the tuition for the year was $24,000 plus accommodation. So they estimated to be $35,000. So I took the letter and I said, Grandma, look at this. You told me to do it. Do you have $35,000 somewhere? And she looked at me and she was laughing and she said, Emmanuel, I just want to tell you, I have $0, okay? But I don't care. If it's God's will that you have to go and do your master's, God can provide. And I said, Grandma, you don't understand it. You don't know what you're talking about. I have to show proof that I have $35,000 somewhere that I can use to do my master's at La Sierra University before I'll be able to get the visa. And Grandma asked me, who said that? And he said, well, the school said that. And he said, is the school bigger than God? And I said, the school is not bigger than God, but you don't understand it. You don't understand it. And she told me, I said, Grandma, I'm going to go to the embassy, the American embassy. As soon as I go there and I'm not able to show that I can pay $35,000, the embassy is going to reject my visa application. And she said, so? And she said, Emmanuel, I just want to tell you that you are serving a God who is bigger than what you can imagine. And she quoted to me Luke 1 verse 37. And it says that with God, all things are possible. All things. And she told me to read that text. I read that text and I said, Grandma, this all things doesn't include the $35,000. And she said, all things include what? Include all things, including the $35,000. Just go to the embassy. And I said, Grandma, they are going to reject it. They will never look at it. And she said, Emmanuel, I just want you to go to the embassy. So I went to the embassy. They were in line. And in Ghana, the American embassy is as big as this room, and all of the people will come and sit like this, and the consulate person will be standing, will be here, and then you come, your line, and I saw them. As soon as you go there, they ask you for your statement showing that you can pay the money. And if you say that you don't have it, the first thing is that the person had a stamp, put it, rejected, then give it to you. So several people were going out. So I ran back and I called my grandma. I said, Grandma, there are so many people that they are rejecting. And she said, have they rejected you? And I said, no. But I said, Grandma, they are going to reject it. And she said, I don't care. Just go. Let them reject it. I'm praying. When it got to my turn, God performed a wonderful miracle that I've never seen before in my life. The lady, it was a lady, she took my passport and she looked at me and said, Emmanuel, you want to go to the U.S. and go to school, right? And I said, yeah. And where are you going? I said, California. And then she started telling me about California, how wonderful it is, the weather and everything. And she said, Emmanuel, you know what? I'm going to give you the visa today, but you came very late. Can you come back tomorrow? And I said, what did you say? And she said, I'm going to give you the visa, but I can't do it today. Can you come back tomorrow? Amen. And I said, I have this document. She said, I have your passport. I have your passport. So it's okay. Just go. So I called my grandmother and I said, Grandma, maybe the lady didn't understand what I was saying with my accent. She didn't get my accent because she didn't ask for anything. And she said, what did you say? She said, I should come back tomorrow. And she said, okay, just go tomorrow. And I said, no, Grandma, she didn't understand it because my accent, she did not get me. And so I went home. The next morning when I came, usually they open at 9, but she asked me to come at 6 a.m., so I came 6 a.m. and she was at the entrance waiting for me with my visa like this. And she handed it to me. And when she did that, I called Grandma and she said, I said, did she give it to you? I said, yeah. She said, I knew that God would make it happen. And I said, Grandma, okay, that's one, but you don't understand it. I still have to have the $35,000 to go to school. And she said, okay, so go. And the next point is not just the $35,000. The next point is to get a plane ticket. And the plane ticket to Ghana, from Ghana to California, at that time it cost $2,200 in 2004. And $2,200 is impossible for my grandmother. Because in Ghana, the average salary for the month is about $80. So for somebody to save $2,200 is almost impossible. So I went to Grandma and I said, Grandma, Now is the biggest challenge. Now is the ticket, because I can't walk from Ghana to the U.S. I have to have a plane ticket. But this one, you don't understand. You have to pay and get a ticket. And she said, Emmanuel, I want you to open 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And I said, Grandma, this is not about the Bible. This is about cash. She said, I want you to open that. And I read it. It says, cast all your burdens unto me, because I care about you. So I read it for Grandma. And I said, okay, Grandma, I've read it for you. When she said, what did you say? She said, what did the Bible say? It said, cast all your burden. And he said, does your burden include your plane ticket? And I said, yeah, it includes, but this one, I need the cash for it. This is a separate burden. I need a cash for it. And in Ghana, you don't buy the ticket here like you are in your computer and you buy it. You go to, there's a booth, I forgot what they call it. What do you say? Travel agent. Travel agent. So I went to the travel agent. I was going to ask them about the ticket. Because I said, Grandma, you don't understand it. I'm just going there for them to print me the ticket, the price, so that I can come and show it to you. I went in there, and I asked the lady, I said, I'm going to Los Angeles. She said, have a seat. I sat down, and she put everything together. She said, it's going to cost $2,200. I looked at her, and I smiled, and I said, okay, thank you. So I got it. And when I was getting out of that office, I met a lady, and she looked at me, and she said, oh, it looks like you look familiar. And I said, well, maybe, I don't know. And we started talking, and she said, why are you here? And I said, well, I got a visa to go to the U.S. to go to school, and my grandma doesn't understand it, and so I'm just coming to get a statement so I can show her about the price. And she looked at me, she said, oh, congratulations, it's good to go to school. And I said, Mom, you don't understand, my grandma doesn't have $2,200. And she said, come with me. We went in there, and she told the lady at the counter, he said, what is the ticket? What's the price? He said, $2,200. He said, okay, I'm here to get the ticket for my son. But my son doesn't go to the U.S. until the next month. And so I want you to give the ticket to Emmanuel. I'm paying for it. The lady paid the ticket. I knew her from nowhere. I didn't know her from anywhere. So I called my grandmother and I said, Grandma, something happened. And she said, what happened? Did you have the statement to show me? And I said, no, not just the statement. I met somebody that I didn't know from anywhere. And the person paid the $2,200. And she said, are you surprised? And I said, yeah, I'm very surprised. She said, no, I'm not surprised, because God can do anything. I told you. And God did it. And now I have my ticket. I have my visa ready to go. But still, the $35,000 is still not solved. And when I was coming, I said, Grandma, now, do you have money for me to, as my pocket money, like change something? And she said, I don't have anything, Emmanuel. And I said, Grandma, so how am I going to go to the U.S.? Because I don't have anybody here, no friend, no family, nothing. So how am I going to do it? She said, I don't care. God can do it. And the time came for me to go. I still have $0. And I said, Grandma, I'm going tomorrow. She said, okay. Just go. And I said, how am I going to go, Grandma? And when we were talking, the next day, the very day that I was supposed to travel in the morning, I was still debating with my grandmother about this, how she doesn't understand what I'm talking about, because she doesn't understand numbers. That's what I was telling her. And when we were talking, there was a gentleman that came from nowhere. And he said, oh, Emmanuel, I heard that you're going to the U.S. to go to school, and congratulations, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's good to go to school. Here, just a little change so that when you go to the U.S., you'll be able to survive, for at least for the day. And when I opened the envelope, the person gave me $500. $500. So God has showed that he wants me to go. Okay, so I told grandma. And he said, so now what's your problem now? And I said, still the $35,000. And she said, Emmanuel, just go. Just make the leap and go. Because Exodus 14:14, God says, be still. And she'll tell you to read the Bible text for her. She said, God said, be still. And I said, Grandma, I'm not still. This one is not about being still. This is about the reality. And I came. I got to Los Angeles. I got here around 11 p.m. in the night. And Ghana, taxi is the cheapest. Okay? So I got in there and I found taxi. And he said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to La Sierra. Where is the address? I said, I don't have it. The guy was excited. Oh, come sit down. So I sat down in there. He was just talking and telling me stuff. We got to La Sierra, and the guy told me, it is $500. And I said, what did you say? $50? So I thought it was $50. So, and the guy gave me $100 bills. So I took one, I gave him $100, expecting a change. And he said, Emmanuel, sir, it is $500. And I said, sir, this is the exact money I have in my pocket. $500, nothing else. And the guy said, well, if you don't pay, sir, I'm going to call the police and blah, blah, blah. I was scared. So I gave him the $500. And the guy asked me for a tip. And I said, what does that mean? I didn't know what the tip was. He said, well, you know, you pay the fee, the fare, so now you just give me a tip. And I said, sir, that's all that I have, $500. He was so angry. I had a small bag. He pulled the bag out of the trunk, threw it. He was angry, threw it there, and then he went. At that time, it was about midnight or past midnight. So I didn't know where to go. I was in La Sierra campus, sitting down there. And when I was there, there was a security guy who was in the golf cart, the golf cart, that small car, yeah. So he said, hey, sir, what are you doing here? I said, well, sir, I'm coming from Ghana. I'm just here. And he said, which dormitory are you going to? And I said, I don't know. I just came. And because I had not registered to pay the $35,000, I didn't get accommodation. And I said, sir, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Can I sit with you in this golf cart with you and patrol the school, and then the next morning you can take me to the administration? And he did. So I sat in there. So the next morning I asked him, I said, is there a way I'll be able to call my grandma in Ghana and tell him about my story? So I called my grandmother and I said, you don't understand. Now I'm back to zero. I had 500. Now it's zero. And she told me, she said, yeah, it's good. It's good that you have zero. I was angry with her because I've lost my $500, and she said it's good that I'm zero. And she said, Emmanuel, you still don't believe what God can do. So God wants to bring you down to zero. And he wants to show you what he can do from your zero. And I said, Grandma, you don't understand. You live in Ghana. I'm here in the U.S. With $0, it's not possible. And I just want to tell you, it's a long story, but I just want to tell you this. When I finished school, I had no student loan, nothing, okay, nothing. When I finished, La Sierra University owed me $500. They owed me $500, and they wrote me a check of $500. Because I came with zero, right? Zero. The person took $500 out from me, and now God replaced the $500. And I was able to finish school with zero debt. Zero debt. And I got a refund. I got a refund. It's not tax, but a refund from the school. I'm telling you this because we are serving a God who is bigger. Okay, who is bigger? Who is bigger than anything? You know, sometimes as Christians, we focus on our problems. We try to magnify our problems. And we marginalize the power of God. Sometimes we think that our problem is beyond God, what God could do. But I just want to tell you, God can do anything and everything. My grandma told me, Emmanuel said, no matter what the situation is, he said, I don't care about whatever it is. Because we serve a God who is more powerful than anything that I could ever imagine in my life. Anything. You name it. Whatever it is, I don't care. Whatever. So instead of us magnifying our problems, we should magnify God and marginalize our problems. Because that's the God that we are serving. Because if you put God first and you believe God and you trust Him, that will be the time that you will be able to tell other people about Jesus. If our minds are fixed on our problems, we won't be able to tell people about Jesus. We need to have our faith strengthened. Because that's the only way. And the last story, and then I'm done. When you look at the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4, verse 38, that was another book that my grandmother made me read. There was a time that Jesus and his disciples, they were on a boat. Jesus had performed all miracles. They have seen Jesus raising the dead, feeding the 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish. They had seen that. They had seen Jesus healing the sick, the lame, the cripple. They had seen it. When it came to their time for them to exercise their faith in the Lord, they failed. When you look at Mark chapter 4, verse 38, the disciples said a very sad statement. When they were in the boat and the storm started coming in, they decided to use their own strength. Jesus was there in the boat with them. They were right there. Jesus was right there with them in the boat. Jesus was sleeping right there with them. And the storm started coming in. And they decided, because they were fishermen, they were very experienced people, so they decided to battle the storm with their own strength because they knew how to fish. So they had been on the sea several times. So they used their own strength. When it got to the point that they were about to drown, they said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? So here are the disciples with Jesus. They have seen what Jesus can do, the power of Jesus. Now they are doubting the compassion, the caring nature of Jesus. They are asking whether Jesus cares anymore. Because they were afraid of the storm, they think Jesus is afraid of the storm. They think that because they cannot handle the storm, Jesus cannot handle the storm. To them, the storm was bigger than Jesus. Whilst they have seen Jesus raising Lazarus, who had been dead for 3 days, this was the time for them to exercise their faith in him. But the disciples failed. They had been with him so many times. And Jesus said, when you read 4:38 to 40, don't you have faith with me in me anymore? Can't you exercise a little bit of faith? And you know the story. Jesus calmed the storm. So if even the storm can even listen to Jesus, how much more you? You, Seventh-day Adventist church member, who had experienced Jesus in so many different ways, what God has done for you in your life, why can't you exercise faith in him in these challenging times that you are facing? Why can't you exercise faith just in your times of trouble now? Because he has done something for you in the past. So why can't you trust him for him to do something in the future and presently? Because he can do it. There is nothing that is beyond him. Absolutely nothing. And my grandmother kept telling me, Emmanuel, I just want to tell you, I don't care about anything. Something may be bigger than me, but it's not bigger than Jesus. And because it's not bigger than Jesus, I don't care about that problem. I don't care about it. And she kept telling me, said, Emmanuel, just tell me. Tell me the worst thing that can ever happen to you. Just tell me. The worst thing. And I said, Grandma, the worst thing is my $35,000 to La Sierra. And when I finished school, I called her and said, your worst thing was $35,000. Now the school is giving you back money. So God has turned my worst thing into a profit. Now I have a profit. The school now owes me. Instead of me owing them, now they are the ones that owe me. And I was able to get my certificate with proud. You know, I just went there, proudly got my certificate, and they handed me a check of $500. I'm telling you this because we are serving a God who is amazing. That's why I'm telling you that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I cannot be ashamed of it. I feel proud telling people about what Jesus can do. That's why as Christians, we have to tell our story. It's not about the story of Peter, not about the story of Moses, not about the story about anybody. It's about your own personal story that you have to share with other people. Let them know what God has done for you. Let them try. And he said, come and taste it yourself, that the Lord is good. Just come and taste it. Because I have personally tasted it. And I know God is amazing. So I can tell about him anywhere, everywhere, that I'm not scared of it. I'm not ashamed of it. Because God is powerful. Because at the end of the day, soon Jesus is going to come. This world is not our final home. You see, our problem is that we make this world our final home. But this world is not our final home. We are going to heaven, a place that is prepared by God himself. God's hand has prepared a wonderful place for us. So whatever your challenge is, you are going to leave it right here in this world. If it's cancer, it's going to be left here. If it's poverty, it's going to be left here. If it's about joblessness, it's going to be left here. Because we are going to go to a better place. A place where cancer cannot go there. My bills cannot go there. There will be no bills that I'm going to pay in heaven. So that alone should be able to motivate me, and it should be able to motivate you, so that we'll be able to rise above your challenge. I know you may have pain in your heart. There may be something that you are struggling to deal with. But I'm praying that you comfort yourself with the promises of God. There are so many promises in the Bible that we need to make them our own promises. Put your name there. Can you imagine God saying that he knew you before you were born? You know, in my church, we were talking about something, and I told them to name the best person in this world that if they knew or they relate to, that they would be very excited and happy. Anybody in this world. And people mention all kinds of names, all the celebrities, all the politicians, all the rich people, everything. And I told them, and I said, all these people, put them together combined. God is bigger than them. All of them, put them together, combined. God is bigger than them. So if this God is saying that he has me, and he loves me, and he cares about me, what is the problem? Why should I be worrying myself about the problem? In Matthew 6, verse 25, it says, do not worry about what you eat, about what you drink. Don't worry. The problem is that we tend to worry too much as Christians. And we should never worry. Because Isaiah 41 verse 10, that will be my last one, Isaiah 41 verse 10. Bible says, be not dismayed. Be not worried. Be not afraid. Because God is saying that he holds you in his right hand. Can you imagine you in God's palm? You are in God's palm. He has you. He got you. What else can defeat you? What else should I be afraid of? Is it cancer? Is it money? Then what? Then why are we sad? Then why can't we go out there and tell about Jesus to other people? So I pray that tonight you think about it, you reflect about it, and you'll be able to have an experience and share with other people. And so I just want to pray with you. So if you don't mind, if you want to stand, and we are going to pray. And I don't know what you are dealing with. I don't know what you are going through. Maybe there may be something that is bothering your mind. And so I just want you, if you feel comfortable, I want you to come forward and just want to pray. I just want you to tell God about whatever that you are dealing with. And I'm just going to pray that God should let you have an experience that I had. Whatever the most challenging situation that you are dealing with, I just want you to, so that next time that we come here, you will be able to testify. You will be able to say that I had this, the most difficult problem that I was dealing with. God has done it. I just want you to put that as a challenge for our next year. I don't know whatever it is. You know whatever it is. You know whatever the situation is. I just want you to tell Jesus. I just want you to tell him that this is the most difficult thing that I'm struggling with. And I believe that you're going to have an experience. Let us pray. I want to give you 1 minute. Just tell him. Tell him about whatever that thing is. Whatever that you are going through. Just tell him 1 minute. And I'm going to pray. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for tonight. These are your people, Lord. I have told them exactly what you did for me in my life. When I came to this country, Lord, I had nothing. And you helped me to go through school. And so, Lord, tonight, I have threw a challenge to them. I've thrown a challenge to them. I just want them to tell you exactly the most difficult thing that they are dealing with. And I'm praying that, Lord, you meet them according to their needs. And I'm praying that Lord, you will answer their request so that they will have testimony, so that they will be able to share your goodness to other people. What is bigger for man is not bigger for you. What they cannot deal with, Lord, you can deal with. What is above them, Lord, is below you. So I'm praying that, Lord, whatever the challenges, I want you to answer according to your will. I'm praying that, Lord, you give them the courage, you give them the faith, you give them the assurance that you are with them. You created them, and you have each and every one in your palm. And you know exactly what they are going through individually. I'm praying that tonight, Lord, you give them the testimony, so that next year when we come back here, they are going to testify that, Lord, they had this big challenge and you answered. Because, Lord, you are giving an assurance in Isaiah 65, verse 24, that even before we speak, you will hear. And whilst we are praying, you will answer. Lord, your people are praying. They are speaking. May you, Lord, answer them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.